Good morning. It's good to be back with you again. This old cold winter, I was getting stir crazy. I was ready to get out. So decided we'd come up here and see you. This morning we want to talk about Proverbs 22:1. A good name is better than riches. How would you like to be remembered after you are gone? Some, such as Billy the Kid or Jesse James, will be remembered for the crimes they committed. And when I gave this, looked out on the audience and saw the young people, I thought, they don't even know who I'm talking about. They'll think this Jesse James is the one that did Sandra Bullock wrong. But we're talking about Billy the Kid, a gunslinger from the Old West, and Jesse James as an outlaw. And if you've ever been in any caves in Missouri or Arkansas, they hid out in every one of them. So anyway, that's who that is. But you don't think sometimes that we've got a generation coming along that don't have a clue as to what we have been through in the past. And you have to bring it down and relate it. So anyway, some, such as Babe Ruth, a great baseball player, will be remembered for his achievements on the baseball field. Some, such as George Washington, will be remembered for the contribution that he made to our country. And some will be remembered for their great wealth. But in Proverbs 22:1, we read, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and loving favor rather than gold or silver. So what is the importance of a good name? To some extent, all of us are concerned about what others think of us. And within limits, this is good. Speaking of an elder, Paul wrote, moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. 1 Timothy 3:7. Concerning women, the Apostle Paul wrote, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. 1 Timothy 5:14. Concerning servants, Paul wrote, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. 1 Timothy 6:1. We should live in such a way that we do not give others reason to speak poorly of us, but we also should not be overly concerned about what others think. In condemning the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus said, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Matthew 23:5-7. To be overly concerned is to be self-centered. A good name enables us to have a good influence on others, while a bad name causes us to have a bad influence. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Matthew 5:13-16. No matter what our understanding of doctrine may be, we cannot bring others to Christ if our reputation is not what it ought to be. A good name brings honor to Christ's ecclesia, while a bad name brings reproach. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. Proverbs 18:3. Ignominy, shameful behavior, reproach, disgrace. We cannot engage in disgraceful behavior without bringing disgrace upon the ecclesia. Others besides ourselves are affected by our reputation. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Proverbs 27. Your reputation, in part, is determined by your father's reputation, your family name. We must remember, our children's reputation will be determined in part by our reputation. So establishing a good name. Live lives of integrity. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Proverbs 11:3. Adherence to a code of values. Don't participate in activities that cause God's name to be spoken against. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Romans 2:23-24. Do good. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Proverbs 20:11. Be honest in your dealings with others. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17. Diligently seek good. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. Proverbs 11:27. As much as it is possible, we ought to strive to develop and maintain a good reputation, one that will be helpful to Christ's ecclesia. To protect one's reputation is paramount. To forge that reputation is also very important. Wisdom is better than gold, we are instructed. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Proverbs 16:16. So there should be a choice. So should there be a choice between becoming wealthy or becoming wise, one should always choose the wisdom. There are many things that money cannot buy. One of them is a prudent wife. Parents can give an inheritance, but only God can give a prudent wife. And all of the decisions one makes in this lifetime, the choice of a mate is probably the most important in determining one's overall happiness and contentment as well as success. What do you think of when you hear the names Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Saddam Hussein? Now we can bump in Barack. I can't even say his name, Barack. They were evil dictators. What about the name Timothy McVeigh? He was the Oklahoma City bomber. What about Osama bin Laden? He's a terrorist. And what about Judas, the betrayer? Back in the days of Christ, Judas was a reasonably popular name, but you don't hear many kids named Judas today. Why, and why is that? Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment. Now, it's not so much the name itself that matters, but the reputation that goes with that name. So how do we get a good name? Companies spend billions of dollars on commercials telling us how good their products are because they want us to trust them. If they are proven to be untrustworthy, They lose business and billions of dollars because they have developed a bad name. They've developed a bad reputation. To get a good name, we must be a person of character. We must develop a good reputation, and we must be trustworthy. Your name represents who you are. We as believers have taken on the name of Christ. And that's why it's so important that we be very careful how we live. We need to do everything we can to have a good testimony because we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him, and so we need to be men and women of character. For the most part, a man's reputation is based on his character. A man's character is known by his conduct and his speech. Christ said, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit." Matthew 7:17-18. What kind of fruit are we producing in our lives? Does our name shame us, or does it bring us honor? Does our name shame our families, or bring them honor? Even more importantly, does our name honor or dishonor God? President Clinton, by some of his actions, said character doesn't matter. But it does. God says in Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is more precious than ointment. In Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Of what benefit is a name if it can be spewed out as fast as it is pronounced? Of what use is a name, though written on marble and in the nation's hall of fame, if it is not written in the Lamb's book of life? Some advice on money. The Bible is filled with warnings and advice on money. If we take the time to search the Scriptures, there are dozens of passages that teach about wealth, money, and riches. The Bible takes such care in teaching us about wealth because the allure of money is strong, and the possessor of money often has power that can become self-destructive. The driving desire of the world is wealth, and left unchecked, greed turns friends into enemies, and people will do almost anything for the love of money. This is why the Bible warns us in 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Jesus warned that we should not store up treasures on earth, where our wealth can decay or be stolen. It is only a temporary possession, but we should instead store up our eternal reward that will never be lost when we put our focus on seeking God's kingdom. There is nothing more important than a good name. If every believer took this to heart, we would never be willing to compromise our integrity or values for financial gain. God's loving favor is much more valuable than anything that we can gain outside of His will. Psalm 37:16 states it well. "A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. It is better to be poor than to have wealth and power while becoming an enemy of God." And even believers can stray from the faith and pursue greed. The end result is that they are pierced through with many sorrows. what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul or his life? Matthew 16:26. Do not hasten to be rich. God also warned us not to hasten to be rich. Look at the following passages. Proverbs 28:19-22. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. There are two warnings to the person who hastens to become wealthy. They will find poverty and they will be punished. Keep in mind that money is not called the root of all evil. It is the love of money that roots evil. The Bible never condemns wealth. It condemns trusting in wealth, making money into our love and becoming rich financially while neglecting our relationship with God. Corporate greed is the main cause of the economic troubles that we are going through now. It is amazing how many wealthy men will destroy themselves in their desperate attempt to gain more. Why do million-dollar athletes go on strike to gain more? And why do many rich risk losing everything to try and gain more? The Bible states that the eyes of man are never satisfied, and Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase." How many times have we seen this proven to be true again and again? Each one of us also runs the risk of following this same path if we take our eyes off our goal and begin to follow the cares of this life. When we lose perspective, we begin to think that we own our possessions. But in the end, they will own us if gain becomes our goal. The Bible does not tell us not to earn money or never obtain possessions. Instead, we are warned that we should never make possessions our goal. Don't lose sight of the fact that God is the owner of everything. We are stewards. We are caretakers of what God has entrusted to us. Scripture teaches that we should labor and work for our possessions. Patience is the key. The person who hastens to be rich tries to find a get-rich-quick scheme and plan and looks for shortcuts in life. These shortcuts rarely work and often lead us into dangerous waters. When a gamble does not pay off, we are more often willing to gamble with higher stakes in a vain and desperate attempt to get ahead. The hard reality is that we will almost never get ahead, and the gambler is destined for poverty. And I think we're going to see a lot of people losing what little money they have with this new Arkansas lottery. The one who works with diligence and is patient will see the benefit of hard work. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 2:24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. We can compare this to Proverbs 15:27. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. God desires to bless us, but he does so according to our labors. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that God should be the focus of our labor. Colossians 3:22-25. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. The primary focus of this scripture was to the believers who were servants, but this applies equally to all. The key point is that we work heartily as though we were doing our work to the Lord. If we took this approach in our careers, we would never get out of balance. It is not possible to work with the attitude of working to the Lord while pursuing greed or giving in to dishonesty. We will enjoy the product of our labor when our life is Christ-focused. The deceitfulness of riches, Matthew 13:22. Now he who had received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Riches are deceitful, and we can see this in the lives of those who pursue it. If someone spends their whole life building wealth and never seeks God, what have they gained? The Bible makes a perfectly obvious statement. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:17. In spite of this fact, our human nature desires to pursue a world that will one day pass away. Unless the Lord returns, we will pass away and everything we gain will be lost. The great deception of riches lures us to forfeit the true inheritance of God, and we can follow what is eternally worthless. I heard someone say the other day, the lottery now, the Powerball's $122 million or $129 million. And he said, you know, if I won the lottery, I'd pay on my bills as far as it would go. We don't want to get into that situation. The Bible teaches us that if riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. It is difficult to maintain the right perspective, but we must always bear in mind that God is the owner of whatever we possess. He has the right to give it to us, and he has the right to take it away. Job was very wealthy, and God tested him by allowing bandits to seize his possessions. He responded by saying, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1:21. No one who loves possessions can say this. Only the believer that counts God as their reward. In the end, Job was restored 10 times what he once possessed, but this is not a guarantee for everyone. The important thing to note is that Job loved God rather than his possessions. It is very important that wealth not become the focus of our heart. Let's look at Proverbs 23:1-5. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. This passage has several truths to consider. Never allow your heart to lust after the things others have gained, and do not allow wealth to ever become the apple of your eye. If we have lost money, or if we lose in the future, should we get angry at God? He has told us ahead of time not to set our heart on riches. If they should fly away, we have not lost our hope, because God is the rock that our lives are built upon. If we have provided by our labor, we will continue to eat the fruit of our labor. We labor to provide for our needs, and then we understand that this is a blessing by the hand of God. Not only are we warned not to love riches, but we are also warned not to put our trust in wealth. Proverbs 11:4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. In verse 28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. If God is our provider and the one that we trust, our life will flourish despite circumstances. When money fails, those who trust in it fail. But the one who builds his or her life on the rock of Jesus Christ will stand even when the storms of life blow with a fury. For those who follow their flesh and put their focus on the world, they will never be satisfied regardless of how much they have gained. This is not so for the believer. We have the promise of contentment regardless of circumstances. The Apostle Paul wrote from prison, saying that he has learned to be content in whatever state he is in. Even after he lost everything, including his freedom, because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was satisfied and content with God and what the Lord provided to him. This is reiterated for each of us in Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. When we desire what we do not have, we are living outside of faith. When we are not content with what God has given us, we are declaring by our attitude that we do not trust God. True gain is loving God and being satisfied with Him. 1 Timothy 6:6-11. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. This agrees with Proverbs 13:7. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. Getting more will never satisfy us, but the one who trusts in God and has faith to only receive by his hand will be content, satisfied, and rich. We have the promise found in Psalm 37:25 that David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. If we are following God's plan, he will always provide. Trusting God is always a step into the dark as we put our faith in God to guide our steps. When we get into a hole, the first step in getting out is to quit digging. Oftentimes, God will allow us to dig ourselves into a hole so that we can see that our ways do not work and so that we will look up. God is our provider. Those who desire riches will fall into temptation and will find trouble. But those who are content with what God provides will have peace and satisfaction. In many ways, money is a testing ground for the believer. How we respond to money reveals and shapes our heart and our character. Jesus used the parable of three stewards to teach several truths. The servants were entrusted with money, and based on their faithfulness, they revealed their worthiness to be entrusted with more important things. Luke 16 says, "He who is faithful in that in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." And verse 11, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Unrighteous mammon is the wealth and the treasures of this world. Money is not close to the heart of God, but he does use money to provide for our needs and to test our faithfulness. If God cannot trust his people with something like money, how can he entrust us with the important things of his kingdom? The true riches are the things that are important to God. If God's people lose control or begin to fall in love with wealth, how can we effectively perform the work of God? God's word states that if we are unfaithful to him here, we will not be found worthy to inherit the honor he desires for us in his kingdom. Money is not good, nor is it evil. Money is a tool in the hand of each person. We place the value on the tool in our hand, and we either use it as God has intended, or we use it against the plan of God. 1 Timothy 6 says, 17 through 19, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." The Bible teaches us that God gives rich. The Bible teaches that God gives richly for us to enjoy, but we are not to hold it with closed fists, but be ready to give, willing to share, and put our focus on good works. The labor we give is not to increase wealth, but to build our foundation of Christ and reach for the true riches of eternal life. This time we'll have the memorial hymn.